So last week we were going to discuss the birth of Yishmael. And initially before that we spoke about the land that Hashem promises Avram by the Bris Ben Hebsarim, the land of the 10 nations. I think at the end of the class when I was discussing the birth of Yishmael, I don't think anybody was here. I'm not going to go over the whole thing because the class is recorded. And I am working on it. I just want to let you know. I know it's being a little fashlept, but I am working on a proper, good advertisement for this year. I really want to push this year strongly, advertise it all over. It's mamash been an obstacle that I haven't created a good piece of art that usually the other classes are connected to. And when Bez Hashem, I'm meeting with someone now to finalize that. And if we're going to have that ready, we're going to be able to advertise this. And then I have about 45, I think, or close to 50 classes over the last, since we started this Geula class, to be posted on our website. So if anybody wants to learn the story of Mashiach as it's coming through the Torah, they'll be able to learn it from the beginning. So this shiur is also available, last week's shiur, so about the birth of Yishmael. Obviously, it's a very interesting subject, but particularly pertaining to where we're standing now and the struggle with Yishmael. I'm just going to mention one or two things about, not everything that I mentioned over there about Yishmael, but just one or two things that I already mentioned last week, but again, I think I wasn't connected. So the first inyan is that the Medrash tells us that there were a few people, because we, you know, Yishmael sends shudders down our spine. We're Nebuch. You know, there's been, we've had it with Yishmael. So the Medrash says, it's a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's one I found that's very interesting. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that there are six people whose name was given to them before they were born. And one of them is Yishmael, that he's already told earlier that his name is going to be Yishmael. As it says, V'karas Shemoi Yishmael, that he should be named Yishmael. And then the Medrash says, V'lama, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, V'lama Nikra Shemoi Yishmael, why is he called Yishmael? So everybody usually thinks that's because the Arabs, the Muslims, have a special power in prayer, that Hashem listens to them. We see about it this week as well, that Hashem listened to the cries of Yishmael when he was out in the desert, when Avram and Sarah banished him from the house. Hashem listened to them, so that's why. I've heard that a lot, but the Pirkei de Eliezer says something really special. He says that the reason he's called Yishmael is not that Hashem listens to the cries, the davening of the descendants of Yishmael, but rather that Yishmael is going to cause Nebuch tzaris for the Yidden at the end of days, and the Yidden are going to cry out because of what Yishmael is going to do. Nakasa the cry of the people, Mamashasidna b'nei Yishmael lasis, from this that the b'nei Yishmael are going to do, lefikach therefore nikra shma Yishmael, that's why he's called Yishmael, because of that. His whole name is that he's going to cause Yidden to be heard. The Yehula Shalema is going to come influenced by Yishmael, because Yishmael is going to give a little bit of a kvetch, and that is going to cause Yidden to cry out. And Shama Yishmael, like the pasuk says, Yishmael v'yanim, in the famous psukim in Pada B'shalim Nafshi, it's Yishmael v'yanim. Yishmael is Yishmael. Hashem will hear the cry. So we have to realize that when we say Tehillim and we daven and we had enough Ad Masai from what we hear every day coming from Artzeinu Akdeisha, so that we were Yotze, that it should be Yishmael, the Ebishter should hear. Another important idea was that Yishmael's birth was a hachana for the birth of Yitzchak. As the pasuk says, that Sarah says to Avram Avinu, I'm going to give you my wife, I'm going to give you my maid, and then when you will do that, maybe you will have, what the Lashon over there is, she says, maybe you will, now here's the pasuk. Hold on, give me a minute. Ulai, yeah, she says, Sarai doesn't give birth. She has an Egyptian maidservant. And v'toyim Sarai l'Avram, hinei na'atzerani Hashem iledes. Hashem has withheld me from giving birth. Boina el shivchasi. Come to my shivcha, ulai ubana mimena. Maybe I will be built up through her. So what's the shaychus? Why, if Avram is going to take Hagar's kind of as a wife, why is that going to help Sarah in any way? So the explanation that is given is that the Arachai Makadish says this is a Gavaldig Inyan, that Sarah is thinking that maybe in order to produce a son like Yitzchak, Yitzchak is going to be the first Jew who's going to be born as a Jew. And Avram and Sarah were born, and they were Megayer, the head of the Gerim, kind of. And they were born from an unclean place, Terach, and for Avram and the other parents, for Sarah, Haran. This was not Bekadusha. Adarab, it says, in regards to the birth of Avram, Miyitin Tahar Mitame, that a Tahar, a pure being, comes from a Tame. So Avram has within his nefesh, somewhere, Avram has some kind of a zoyhama, some kind of an impurity, some kind of a defect, some kind of a pollution, some kind of a contamination that is still contaminating his soul. Because, so what if he's going to have Yitzchak, Yitzchak is not going to be able to be Kodesh Kadash and pure, as we're going to see soon, the purest and the holiest and the godliest that's possible, because Avram is not completely purified. So what has to happen first is that, so Sarah realizes that. So she takes Hagar, and she says Hagar is going to live with Avram, and what Hagar is going to do is that she is going to act like a magnet, and she's going to pull all the germs, literally, she's going to pull all the germs out from Avram Avinu, spiritual germs. So all the zayhama, all the filth is going to go out of him. And then Avram is going to be left pure, and then when they're going to have a child, the child is going to be without any defect whatsoever. It's an amazing thing. It comes out that the Yishmael is the klipa shakadma l'peri. Just like when we find when a peri grows, when a fruit grows, it has a shell. And we know that a lot of the shell is the psiles. Since when Hashem cursed the earth, and he said, "V'koitz v'dar dar tartzmiach lach," that there should be a dar dar, there should be thorns that are coming out of it, which means a mixture of good and bad. By the way, it says that I'm remembering now when Hashem tells Adam Rishon, "V'koitz v'dar dar tartzmiach lach," dar dar meaning thorns. The dar dar actually means that the confusion is going to be the switching up of the Dalet and the Reish. Reish comes from the word La'yelacha Kel Acher, Elokim Acherim. Dalet is Echad. Acher and Echad is the Dar Dar. When you flip an Acher for Echad, for the oneness of God. So the earth has a pollution. And that's part of the reality of the world. So just like every time any grain or anything grows, whatever is negative within the thing has to first comes out, and it comes out in the peel or in the chaff. So too, in the world, the Yishmael is the klipa that comes before the peri, and Esav is the klipa before Yaakov. Yishmael is the klipa. So therefore, you find that in the world now also, the klipa is always there first. So the Harabayis is now occupied with a klipa, and that stands before the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on that very spot. And they're worried about it. They're very worried that we're going to destroy their klipa and rebuild. And their paranoia is correct, because as mentioned earlier, we are going to rebuild very soon. It's just that and they feel it, and they sense it. And that's what's sending them. Yes. Hello? Yes, this is the shir. Everybody's supposed to be muted, so let me mute everyone again. This is the shir. Hold on. Okay. Yep. So this is the story of Yishmael being born first as someone who takes out all the junk, allowing for the panemius of the birth of Yitzchak to be born. Now, after the story of Yishmael being born, and the Pasuk says an interesting thing, it says that he's going to be a peta adam, that Yishmael is going to be a wild person. It's going to be like a wild donkey. And the Pasuk says, Yadai Bakoil, His hand is going to be in everything. V'yad kol boy, and the hand of everyone is going to be in him. Okay? That means he's going to make tzaddis for the whole world. No one is going to sit b'menucha because of Yishmael. I mean, if there's any prophecy that we see that was fulfilled to the very last letter, is this pasuk? You see, Yishmael is mamish a terror. I'm saying he is a terror. He's a menace to the world, and everybody's influenced. There's no one in the world that is like kind of feels safe and comfortable with Yishmael. Yishmael is everywhere. Yadei bakoil and yad kol boy. Everybody's after him. I mean, of course, in this crazy world, in some crooked way, he gets a lot of support. But on the other hand, in every country, there is a terrorist, what's it called again? They call it, a homeland security that is looking for these terror cells of Yishmael. So Yadei Bakoil, he's going to try to get everywhere. The Yad Kolboy in the hand of everybody is in him. But I saw an explanation, which is interesting, that we know that Hashem blessed Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram Avinu, Hashem blessed him with the word Bakoil. As it says, Vashem Beirach as Avram Bakoil. By Yitzchak, it says Mikoil. It says that by Yitzchak, it says, the Pasuk by Yitzchak, it says in Parashas Toldos, give me a second. By Yitin Leim, no, Meiser, that's supposed to be Avram Mikoil. It says by Yitzchak that he became very wealthy. Hold on, I should find the pasuk. I don't remember right now, but there's a pasuk that says by Yitzchak, in which it talks about the blessing of Yitzchak, and it says a lashon over there that he was blessed mikoil. By Yaakov, it says, Yaakov says, Yeshli kol, I have everything. So when davening, we're benching, we say, Bakoil, Mikoil, Koil. So Bakoil is Avram Avinu, Mikoil is Yitzchak, and Yaakov is kol, the word koil itself, chaf lamed, kol, which means everything. So so what's happening is like this. Yishmael has some kind of a power on Avram Avinu, some kind of an influence on Avram Avinu, because he comes from Avram. And we know that the psiles, as we just mentioned earlier, the psiles of Avram, the impurity of Avram. Avram is chesed, and every extreme has impurity. So the psiles of Avram went into Yishmael. So Yishmael has some kind of a power in regards to Avram Avinu. That's why the first base of Mikdash is destroyed. It's not destroyed because the first base of Mikdash is connected to Avram Avinu, and it wasn't destroyed by Yishmael, but the place where Shlomo HaMelech, the Temple Mount, the Har HaBayis, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, we see that for thousands of years, for hundreds of years at least, Yishmael has kind of that control over, and they're trying to keep their control over that place. And that's the meaning of Yadoi, his hand, the Bakoil is on Avram Avinu. He has his hand. But what does the Pasuk say in the end? V'yad kol, and the hand of everyone, who's kol? Kol is Yaakov. Yaakov is called Kol, the Yad Kol boy. In other words, as much as Yishmael has some kind of a control over Avram, descendants of Avram, he has also the merit of the Bris Mila, even though it's not a perfect Bris. His Bris is a distorted Bris because it was when he was 13 years old. It's not the Bris of 8 days old, but it's at least some kind of an imitation of a Bris. And that's why it actually says in the Zohar that the reason why Yishmael has control over the land of Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes, it says, because he also has a bris. Since Hashem promised Avram Avinu Eretz Yisrael and the merit of the bris, since Yishmael has a bris. But the Zohar says, since his bris is a fake bris, it's an imitation bris, it's not the real bris, that's why his hold on Eretz Yisrael is only a temporary thing. And then eventually the true heirs of the land, the true inheritors of the land who have the real bris are going to take it. But who is the one who is the old? That's Yaakov Avinu, which is the third Beis HaMikdash. And once the third Beis HaMikdash is going to clear off the Temple Mount, whatever garbage is there on it now, and we're going to have the third, that's the meaning of Yad Kol, the hand of everything, boy, is on him, which means Yaakov Avinu, who's called Kol. Yodoy, his hand, is Bakoil, is on Avram Avinu's Beis HaMikdash. And then Yad Kol, boy, the hand of Yaakov, is going to, in the end, take possession by in him. All right. This is just an interesting remez. But now let's go to the next parsha, which is totally, totally Mashiachdig. And it's completely the next phase in Tikkun HaOlam. As we were learning, you know, since we learned the we began Bereishis, how we learned when Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world in a perfect state, in a very Mashiachdig state. Eila toldois shamayim va'aretz. The word toldois has an extra vav in it, which we learned. It comes to say that the world oilam al meluyay nivra. The Medrash says the world was created in its perfection, and the vav, which is making the word toldois full, is the vav indicates six things that the world was perfect that the world doesn't have today. We spoke about it way back in Bereishis, how the world is perfect with six phenomenal things that were perfect. The human, for give an example, the human being was very tall. His Adam HaRishon was all the way to the, he reached the sky, and his radiance was a radiance. He looked like he made the sun look dark. Well, that's really what the human being is supposed to look like. The fact that this is all the human doesn't have that glory because of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. The taste of food was taken away from the world. I mean, it goes through all kinds of things that the human being is supposed to live forever. Life, we're supposed to live eternally. That was taken away. So our world that we have today is a very compromised world. It's a kind of pathetic kind of a life. So when the world was created, it was toldos. Then we discussed at great length how, because this was part of the plan, but there was, just like when Hashem created the world, there was a shviras hakelim, a shattering of the vessel. So too, in the history of creation and the history of the human being, there had to be a shviras hakelim, and that was the chet of the Eitz Hadas, and the collapse, and the world's continuous falling and falling and falling and falling, continuous denigration, until mamish, until the mabul, the world was just falling and falling and falling into deeper darkness. Total opposite from the kavana of the Creator, that Hashem desired to have a dwelling place in this world. Finally, the Mabul came and stopped the fall. It began the process of turn around. That's Parshas Noach. So you see that the whole story of creation and everything, it's all a tahalich. It's all a process for Mashiach. So then comes the Mabul. The world goes to a mikvah. It purifies it. We're not at all close yet to the beginning of the Mashiach, the Giluyim, the revelations of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and the world filled with godly light. We're not at all yet ready for that, but at least there is a Hachana. The world went to the mikveh, and then began the 10 generations from Avram to Noach, and as we discussed this, and then Avram Avinu's Lech Lecha, that's like the real beginning of the Yavoida, of Lassus Lo Yisbarach Dira B'Tachtayim, to make a Dira in this world. Especially, and we discussed it throughout Parshas Lech Lecha, the various different stages in this. And finally, we come to Bris Milah. And Bris Milah is a tremendous leap in the removal of the effects of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, and removing of the klipa, the darkness, the concealment from the world, and revealing godliness into this world. And that's mamish what milah, the milah itself, the bris milah, is just a physical mitzvah, is a clear indication and an expression of this revelation. Because that's what milah is. Milah is peeling away a klipa. Simple. Mila is a klipa. The arla, the foreskin, is a klipa. It's a block. And mila removes that block. So what does it mean in general in the world? That through the bris mila, it gives the kayach to remove the arla that's the clogging. You know, in the Torah there's an expression, arla slavavchem, the clogging of the heart. The fact that the entire human race has a clogged mind and a clogged heart, from being able to perceive the beauty of the godliness, the beauty of the Creator. The truth is Einoid Mulvadeh, there's nothing but Hashem, and that's the reality of realities. And everywhere, the fact that we're not receptive of that, and we don't see that, it's because of the Orla. There's a big Orla that's blocking and that's concealing. So the Indian of Bris Milah is the peeling away of that Orla, so that what? So that godliness can shine in this world. The word Milah stands for Mal Yudke. Mal Yudke. What is the idea? What does Mal Yudke mean? Mal means to reveal. Sara says today in the Chumash, and the Chumash that we learned today, in the Chitas of today, Sara says, Mimilei l'Avraham. Who has spoken to Avraham? Milel means to speak. So Mila means mal, to speak, to reveal. Yutke the Yutke. What does that mean? The power that Hashem creates the world, Ki Baka Hashem Tzur Elamim. It says with these two letters, with the Yud and with the Hey, Hashem created the world. With the Yud, He creates Olam Haba. And with the Hey, He creates this world. Or more in Hasidic terminology, Kabbalistic terminology, we know that the Yud and the Hey are Yud is Chachma, and Hey is Bina. And we know that Chachma and Bina is the real power behind creation. Because first Hashem, what's Chachma? Chachma is the spark, the first initial spark of creation, the energy of creation. The Eibishter is initiating existence from non-existence, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. That's Chachma. Hey, the Hey takes the Chachma and expands it and develops it, gives form to that otherwise formless point of energy. Now it needs to get form, it needs to get... So really the power behind everything that exists, it's really a Yud, to spark it from non-existence into existence. And the Hey is the godly imagination, Hashem's ability to develop and to create the infrastructure, to develop the entire thing, and that's the Yud-Ke. The problem is that the world, we don't see Yud-Ke. We don't see godliness in the world. The world seems to be just a natural phenomenon, and in which one can dream up a story that it all just happened on its own, and it's billions of years and whatever, and it just evolved out of whatever, and so on and so forth. And that's a very, very strong concealment, a very strong blockage. That's because there is an arla. That's because there is a blockage. So Mila, the inyan of Mila is, it represents the general idea of the Jewish people. That's why this is the sign that really Hashem gives to a Yid to be a Jew, is what is a Jew's life all about? To reveal the kus in the world, to reveal godliness in the world. Mal Yutke, to give the Yutke a amira, to give it, to speak, to be loud. When is that going to be? When is the ultimate of Bris Mila going to be materialized? So Mila, when Avram did his Bris Mila, it was only the beginning of the beginning. But the real Bris Mila and the removal of all Arla is going to be when Mashiach comes. Because it says over there clearly, Vesruach HaTumah Avim and Haaretz, the spirit of impurity, which is the spirit of Arla, which is the block. Avir, I'm going to remove Min Haaretz from the land. And then it says what's going to happen. V'nigla Kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem is going to be revealed. And everybody's going to see Kipi Hashem Diber, that Hashem has spoken. So what does that mean? That it's going to be sense, it's going to be felt. Reality is going to change. The very hergish, the very sense of existence, of who we are and what we are, is going to feel different. We're going to sense, our bodies are going to feel in a very powerful way every moment how it's being this chadish from Hashem's imagination, that Hashem is thinking us and speaking us into existence. Now a little bit more particular, to understand how this relates to Mila, to the actual Bris Mila, this idea that we're removing the cover, and then there is a Giluy of... To understand this a little better, it works something like this. The foreskin is, let's take a look a minute for a moment for Avram Avinu. It says that before Avram Avinu had his Bris Mila, the Pasuk says that Avram is called Avram, right? Avram. When he has his Bris Mila, Avram is called Avraham. Hashem adds a hey to his name, and he's called Avraham. What's the difference between Avram and Avraham? What's the difference between them? So let's actually read it in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Avram was 99 years old, and Hashem appeared to him, and Hashem said to him, Ani Kel Shakai, I am Kel Shakai, Salach Lefan, I walk before me, Ve'ye Tamim, you're going to be a complete human being. That Mabrisi Beni Benech, I'm going to give my covenant between me and you. Va'arba Oischa B'Moid Ma'oid, I'm going to increase you to be very much. And then Avram falls on his face, and Hashem continues speaking to him, and he says, Ani Hine Brisi Itoch, my bris is with you. V'ha'yisa La'av Hamoin Goyim, I am, you're going to be a father for multitudes of nations. V'lo Yekare Oide Shimcha Avram, your name is not going to be Avram anymore. V'ha'yashimcha Avraham, and your name is going to be Avraham. Why? Ki ava moin goyim nesaticha. because a father of nations I have given you. So the difference between Avram Avinu before his bris milah and Avram Avinu after his bris milah is that before his bris milah, Avram, Rashi says, so Rashi explains, he's called Avram. What does Avram mean? He's a father la'aram, only to the Jewish people, only to us. When Avram had his bris milah, he becomes a father to the nations. That means according to this, the bris milah causes some kind of a removal of a mechitza, of a block, of a separation that's separating between Avram's close family and him and the nations of the world, and which means that Avram can become a father and a mentor and a teacher and a guide to all of humanity. Okay? That's al pi pashtus. That's something that the bris milah did, which is kind of a little strange, because the bris milah is something that's given only to the Jewish people. It's a sign between us and Hashem. And here the pasuk seems to imply that when Avram is having his bris milah, this is going to enable him to become a father to the nations. According to Hasidus, let's now step back a moment, the name Avram means, the word Avram means exalted father. Avram, exalted father. Avraham is like the Torah says, he's a father to the nations. So what is the difference of being called exalted father or being called a father to the nations? So the idea is as follows. It says, so there's a mimer from the Alter Rebbe in the Siddur, which is fascinating. And he says that there were two main effects that happened as a result of Avram having his bris milah. There were two primary spiritual consequences. Two things that changed the dynamics of the world through Avram's bris milah. Number one, he says, before Avram had his bris milah, there were very high neshamas, high Jewish souls, neshamas kedoshes, holy souls, that were being born to the Gentile world. It means the Gentile world got a lot of very great neshamas, like you find that the word tzaddikim before Avram Avinu, Meshuselach, this one, they weren't Jewish, but they were great people. He says, after Avram had a bris milah, the covenant that Hashem makes with Avram, this is an interesting idea, that holy neshamas do not come anymore, are not born anymore into the Gentiles, into Gentile nations. That these neshamas kadoshes, holy souls, are only going to come through your genes, your DNA, only through your children. It is not going, it's going to be only in your lineage, it's not going to come in the nations. Comes out that the inyan of bris milah was an inyan of havdalah. It separated ben Yisrael la'amim. And it made that from now on, when all over the world, when people are taking neshamas, when the souls are being conceived and brought down into this world, only Yidden have the power to bring down holy neshamas. Before that, neshamas were going all over, scattered all over. Are you going to ask a question? What's with gerim, people who convert? And we know that people who convert, they have a spark of a Jewish neshama. That's why they converted in the first place. So the emes is, that's all a result, the Alter Rebbe says, it's all a result of neshamas that were given before the bris milah. In other words, these neshamas were already pulled into the klipa. These neshamas were already taken into the outside world before the bris milah. And it's a result. And then they come down, they magugal till they get, they're still around in the world today. Like we have gerim, and a lot of them are very, very special gerim. So these are people that are coming from the Gentile world, but these are all because of, these neshamas didn't come to the world now. They came to the world already before Avram's bris milah. From the bris milah and onwards, holy souls are only going to be within the Jewish people. That's one dynamic of bris milah. Okay? Second dynamic of bris milah, the Alter Rebbe says, is that Avram started becoming a magnet to be able to pull neshamas that are holy souls, that are not part of the Jewish people, that are scattered amongst the Gentiles. Avram is now becoming a powerful beacon of light that is attracting these neshamas. And that's consistent with what the pasuk says, Av hamoin goyim, you're going to be a father of the nations. Which means Because he asks a simple question. He says, where does it come that a Jew, you know, we know how hard it is even for us that we're Jews to keep mitzvahs. And we have a great neshama. And we have all the schus avos, our fathers and grandfathers and great. We have holy genes of Yidden who gave their lives up in Mesiris Nefesh, the Torah and mitzvahs. We come from very good stock. And yet we know how challenging it is sometimes. Shmiras HaTorah mitzvahs, everybody according to their challenges. The Alter Rebbe asked the question, how can it be that a non-Jew who is born in an unholy environment and grows up in an unholy education, and where does he get such inspiration, such powerful inspiration to make such a radical, he or she, to make such a radical change in their life? And the answer, he says, is it's not them. They have a holy soul, but it's not even their neshama on their own. They're being pulled by Avraham Avinu. That's why Avraham is called the father of all Gerim. He's pulling. There's something pulling them. They don't even know what's pulling them. There is this powerful pull that pulls them towards the Jewish people. Like we know that in Judaism, we don't go out and proselytize. That is done by other religions. We seek not to take Gerim. But whoever is being pulled is being pulled. Whoever is stubborn, you know, when you come for Geris, you actually persuade the person not to be Megayer. So yeah, a person has to be very, very determined and has to have strong perseverance to be able to be Niskabel as a Ger. That's because Avram's Neshama pulls. Now, but how does this work? Why is this connected to the Bris Mila? And why Dafka these two things, and how does it work together? Again, what are the two things? Number one is that from the day on after the Bris Mila, Neshamas of Yidden, only neshamas, Jewish souls are only being born to Jews and to Avram's descendants, number one. Number two, even those that are already scattered in the world, from the Bris Mila and onward, Avram was given access to these neshamas, and therefore he can become Av Amon Goyim. So why is it? And the Nekuda and the idea is a very, very profound idea, and a very related to what I said before, what Mila means, Mal Yudke. So let's understand that. And he says it's something like this. The Mila is related to the power of procreation. Okay? So the Mila is the foreskin that's on the bris, we call the bris, and that's where a person is generating life. Because how is a human being ever, in a sense, similar to his creator? We are the most similar to our creator in our ability that we can create children. Now we can have children, that's like a creation, you're creating a new human being, you're creating Yesh Me'ayin. So the Koach HaMolid, the power of giving birth, that's the Bris Mila. The Orla means that there is something blocking the Mashpia. The Yasaid is the Mashpia. Mashpia, that is the influencer. In our case, what is the Mashpia? The Mashpia means Hashem. Hashem is Mashpia life to create Yesh Me'ayin, to create something from nothing. Right? In the human body, what would that be? It would be that where the human being creates something from nothing. Where does the human being create nothing? So in the male, it's his ability to create. That's on the yasid. That's in his bris mila. Now, the orla means something blocking the mashpia, which means the makabel, the recipient, which is the woman. She's the malchus, she's the recipient. She's receiving, or the woman, as being the Malchus, also represents, she represents the world. She represents the space of creation. And Malchus, we know, is the space of the creation. So there is God and there's the creation. The Shechina, Malchus, that's the soul of the creation. Then there is the Mashpia, the one who's giving life to the creation. When the Hashpa comes through an Arla, through when there's foreskin, what does that mean? It means that the Arla, the Klipa, is blocking and is not allowing the light of the Mashpia to shine in the Makabel. So when the Makabel is receiving it, it's almost like they're receiving Ashpa, but from they don't even know from where. Because the Mashpia is concealed and is blocked. See what's going on over here? The Mashpia's light is being blocked. Hashem is the one who's creating. For example, let's translate into the world. Hashem is the one creating the world every second, Yesh Me'ayin. But yet, you have a whole world or a whole, you know, millions of people who believe that the world just came out of nowhere and that the world has its own existence and it's all just evolving of nature. It's all evolution or whatever it is. So what is that? That's a clear Orla result. There is something blocking that the Mashpia should not be felt in the Makabel. And what is that? That's the Orla that's blocking it. That power to be Mashpia is called Av. It's called Father. Because what's a father? The definition of father means, a father means someone who has children. So who is the father of the world? God is the father of the world. So the Eibishter's koyach of hashpa, that Eibishter is being mashpia to the world, life and sustenance and everything. And a God can be ignored. Why? Because there is an arla. So that's the meaning of the word Avram. The father, who is Hashem, Ram, he is exalted. What does he mean exalted? That's not a good thing. That's not a positive exaltation. It's a negative exaltation. It's what it says, Ram al kol goyim Hashem. That the Goyim see God as something very distant, as something very removed. Ram. Ram means he's not somebody who's present, involved, engaged, directing, guiding. He's not imminent in creation. He's distant, he's removed, he's above, he's separated. That's the meaning of Av Ram. The Father, which is Hashem, Ram is exalted. Why is Av Ram? Why is Father exalted? Because there is an Arla that's blocking and not allowing that the Hashpa should be felt in the recipient, in the woman, which would be in this case the recipient, the Malchus. The mother is taking the procreative substance, and she's creating a child. So that would be already the world receiving it. The woman is the receiver. But she's receiving it through an Arla. And when she's receiving it through an Arla, she's not connecting it to her source. So what happens? When, however, you remove the Arla. So then what does it do? It makes there should be a Giloy, there should be a revelation of the Father. That the Father, the power to create, you see... It's almost like, put it this way, you know, sadly, there's, you know, societies where children are grow up, and the only way they can find out who their father is that they need to go do DNA testing. And then you can figure out who the father is, because there's a mother. So that's the same idea. The world is fatherless. There is a world that doesn't know who the father is because there's an Arla that's not attributing the Ashpa to the Eibishter. In order that we should know who the father is, so when you remove the Arla, so then the Mashpia is behiz galus, is revealed to the Makabel. Translate that into God. It means that God, the koyach, the power of godliness, the yudke, which is we said earlier, yudke, which is the power that Hashem innovates the world every second, is mal, is spoken, it's open, it's revealed. V'ro kol basar, that all flesh will see, ki pi Hashem diber. Why will it be when Mashiach will come, everybody will see that Hashem is speaking? Because it will be mal yudke, because the yudke, the power that is initiating creation, the ka Hashem, tzur elam, and with the yud and with the hey, is creating the world, is mal, is open, is revealed, is speaking. And as a result, so now we'll understand, as a result of that, when Avram Avinu had his bris milah, and therefore what happened to himself is that his light, his neshama, the power of his godly light of his neshama became way, way brighter than it was before, because the Arla wasn't blocking anymore. And as a result of that, the sparks of holiness, the Nitzutzei Kedusha, that are buried throughout the world, that are scattered all over the world, are now attracted to his light because he has a much greater appeal. He has a far greater attraction because there's no more... He's able to speak his godliness. He has an ability to convey it, to speak it. So the Nitzutzei Kedusha that sense that light are drawn to him. Again, by Avraham Avinu, we weren't yet at the end of days when we have the full and complete Mila, that every speck of the universe, godliness is seen. But what it affected so much, it had an effect, is that when there is a godly potential somewhere in the world,
welcome. This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. Thank you. you are the host, press star now. Otherwise, please enter your PIN followed by... Thank you. If you would like to record this conference, press star 9. There are...
Okay.
Conference recording, press 1. To return to the con... Please announce yourself.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. I'm here. I'm sorry. I just realized I fell off. All right. So the point over here is that even though we don't have yet a full-fledged Mila, but what we do have at least, even though we don't have a full-fledged Mila, but what we do have at this point in the world is that we have at least light, much more Gilui Elokus, because the oil is removed. So now neshamas are attracted. Those that are potential can come close, which will also explain, as we said earlier, why from the Mila onward, Jewish neshamas will only come to the Jewish people and will not go to the nations of the world. You see, because as long as the koyach of the mashpia is still covered up, the influencer, the power of Yesod, that's mashpia to malchus, where Hashem is being mashpia, the creative energy that's flowing to the world, the procreative energy that's flowing to the world, is going through what's called the klipa. The klipa is right there on the orla that's covering the koyach of hashpah. So what is it doing? In addition to it blocking that all the recipients don't know who the father is, don't know where it's coming from, in addition to that, some of that pnimius diga hashpah gets caught in the orla, gets caught in the klipa. And therefore, before Mashiach, before the Bris Mila, it was possible that in the ranks of impurity, in the ranks of darkness, in the ranks of klipa, a great neshama should come. Why? Because as the ashpa is coming through the arla can trap some of those drops, so to speak, of kedusha, and pull it into klipa. But once Avram removed the arla, so now the hashpa is only going to, it's not going into the arla. Let's put it in simple words: it's only going to Sarah. It's only going to Malchus. It's only going to Kedusha. It's not going into the negative. So two things are happening. Number one, the main Hashpa is going to go only to Kedusha and not to Klipa anymore, which was possible before because the Arla was there and it was intercepting. Let's put it this way. It was intercepting souls. And therefore, we said earlier, there are many holy souls that are scattered amongst the nations. In addition to this, it enabled communication to happen from the world of Kedusha to the outside because Kedusha got a voice, Ma'ol Yudkei, that the light of Chachman, put it in Kabbalistic terms, the light of Chachman Bina was able to reach Sarah. Sarah is Malchus. With the Arla, wasn't reaching her. So she didn't even have a baby. It wasn't reaching her because, in a sense, it wasn't being spoken. It was the concept is there that God creates the world, but it wasn't advertised, it wasn't spoken loud, it wasn't spoken in the street corners, it wasn't open, it wasn't manifest, it was a hidden idea. The Inyan of Mila is Mal, to give full expression, full verbalization, full articulation, that the Yud Kei, which is where creation is really being generated in its source, should be given a full dibor, a full spoken thing. So therefore, Bris Mila is an essential part of the progression of the world towards holiness. It was now given the ability for Kedusha to be, for Gilui Elokus in the world. And this was also the hachana that was needed for Yitzchak to be born. Because until this point, one of the reasons why Avram didn't have a child until now, we said at the beginning of the shiur, first of all, there were still impurities in him. Yishmael had to take that out. But there was another problem, and that is there couldn't be a full Gilui HaKadusha in this world. Yitzchak's Nesham is a full manifestation of Gilui of Kadusha in this world. So Gilui HaKadusha could not be in the world as long as the Arla was there. As soon as you remove away the Arla, so now there can be the full revelation of powerful holiness in the world, and that was the birth of Yitzchak. It says actually in Kabbalah, an interesting idea, that the Neshamas that we have today's days in the world are attributed to Avram. When Mashiach is going to come, there's going to be a new kind of neshamas that are going to come to the world, neshamas chadashes, and those neshamas chadashes are attributed to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is actually a name that is futuristic. Yitzchak will laugh. Because Yitzchak Avinu was shayach to Mashiach. As it says, we know that when Mashiach comes, the father, we're going to say to Yitzchak, Ki ata Avinu, you're our father. More than any of the other avos, Yitzchak our father. That's why Yitzchak, since the inyan of Bris Milah is really something that its completion is only going to be when Mashiach comes. So Yitzchak's light is only really going to be revealed only after Mashiach comes. And Yitzchak is, as we said earlier, futuristic. Yitzchak will laugh in the future. Az Yamal Yitzchak Pinu. The new neshamas that are going to come to the world that are called Yitzchak, they're all for the future. And that can only come after the Asaras Arla, the removal of the Arla, which is the Bris Milah. And it happened in two stages. In a microcosm, in a little way, it happened in the days of Avram Avinu. But in the macro, it's going to be by the grand big Bris Milah, when the Hasruach HaTumah Avram and Ar, it's an oral Arla. Everything that's covering and blocking the Yudke, the Pi Hashem Diber, everything that's making Hashem be distant, Avram, causing God to be distant, and Avram should stop being Avram. He should become Av Hamoin Goyim, the father to the nations, which means that even the nations should see and know that there is a father, that there is a being who fathers creation every moment, and that is God. That is the inyan of Bris Milah. And that's why this was so fundamental for the coming, for the next stage in the Jewish people. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to talk about this idea, and I know it was and clarify it stronger and add to it, Be'ezus Hashem, in next week's class. Everyone should have a good week, and we should merit to see Mashiach. And I want a big mazel tov. I know to my machaten Esther, who hopefully is on the phone, who just had an anical. And the bris was yesterday on the day that Avram named his son Yitzchak, and his name is also Yitzchak. Should have a lot of nachas from him, named after her late husband, my machutin, Reb Yitzchak Zerkind. So it should be a big schus, and that's why I'm so glad to be giving the shir about Yitzchak and the power of the name Yitzchak, and it should be a big mazel tov to you. And only mazel and mazel tovs for all yidden. We should merit already for the big laughter of, like Sarah says in today's chumash, tzchaik as aliyah lekim. May we merit to see the great tzchaik and the great laughter of the coming of Mashiach.